Warning. Critique Revolve contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Welcome to a Rain Man Digital Critique Revolve discussion about James Cameron. The famous director is kind of in the news again after his long hibernation of, 13 years, give or take, between his previous film, Avatar, for the upcoming and long-awaited sequel, Avatar 2: The Way of Water. This has been something that sparked my thought and my want to talk to Mike about it, which is usually how I come up with episodes. Is like, I need to talk to someone about this. I'm going to bother Mike and David, and then maybe that'll just be an episode of something we talk about.
Hey, I liked it. I was like, hey, quit talking right this second, and we're going to do a show on this.
So what we're doing here is, it's been so long since he's done a movie, and he is, for especially for such an impactful director in Hollywood in the last 40, 50 years.
He's almost like the Dr. Dre of movies. You know, Dr. Dre puts out an album every 15 years.
But when he does,
it shakes the bedrock of the music industry. And typically that happens with James Cameron.
It really does. And with the world in the state it is, both from an economic perspective, a changed socio-political landscape, a completely different way in which we interact with movies, he really is in a completely new territory, but yet at the same time, it's not new for him. And so we want to talk about who he is, what he's done in the past, some of the movies he's famous for, and really, can James Cameron's new movie, Avatar 2, make the money to be a financial and or critical success that it needs to be in the year of our Lord 2022?
Yeah, well, okay, so I know you have a lot of things coming up, so if I'm going to touch on something
you're good, man.
This is going to mess up your flow.
Free-form discussion.
Because I've had a lot of questions myself about what to expect from Avatar 2, because it's undeniable James Cameron's relevance within the world of cinema. However, in recent years, there's been a bit of a backlash because of his stance he has taken against comic book films. And James Cameron, Martin Scorsese, the two of them, Tarantino not so much, he has said other things that he doesn't malign Marvel. He has different thoughts on it. But Scorsese and James Cameron both blame Marvel films for being the root cause for the demise of cinema as it is today. I understand their view, although at the same time, there's also an argument to be made that this is the appetite currently. This is what the appetite is. No different than during the 1930s, 40s, 50s with the Westerns. The Westerns dominated the cinema. It dominated international cinema because that's what people wanted. And after about 30, 40 years, that appetite changed and we started getting different types of films taking the limelight at the cinemas. And the same thing's going to happen to Marvel.
Well, you also had the action movies of the 80s and 90s that were blockbuster, huge hits, despite their complete vapid lack of anything substantial. Commando comes to mind as like the quintessential movie in that respect for me. We're like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've seen.
But also great.
But people fucking love it. And it's an action movie at a time in which they were untouchable. And I think superhero movies, I stand by the fact that in another 10 years, they're not going to be what they are. We're watching that wane right now.
Yes, and I feel like James Cameron and Martin Scorsese probably understand that, but they're being disingenuous. If anything, they're just frustrated. I feel like they're frustrated that they can't make the movies they want to make.
Because of the climate they're in.
Yes, or with the case of James Cameron, he's already suffered two critical failures at the box office, not of films that he directed, but that he produced, but one being Alita, which was actually a really good film for what it was. And then the turd that was Terminator.
Dark fart. Whatever the hell you want to call it.
Because of that, I feel like his frustrations are being manifest into interviews now, and he's using Marvel as a scapegoat for his impending failure. Because I do not, I'll say this now, I think Avatar 2 will be a fine blockbuster tentpole film, but I think it's going to flop. Mm. It's going to be a notorious flop because the industry or the market is vastly different than where it was when Avatar came out. Avatar came out in 2008, I want to say 2009, and it was needed because of its use of stereoscopic visuals, which is 3D. It turned going to the movies to an event again. Avatar 2 isn't needed for that.
You don't think it's going to pull that same...
There's no event status being connected to it.
So for those who don't know, and I said this to Mike, that this was probably a necessary bullet point. Who is James Cameron?
Oh.
Because there are going to be people who were 9, 10 years old when his last movie really came out. So they don't know who the fuck this guy is.
That's true.
And that is sad and as old as that makes me feel. James Cameron, for the kids today, is one of the most well-respected, commercially profitable, and critically acclaimed directors of probably the last 40 years. The big name claims to fame is The Terminator 1, and the series originated with him, but he's primarily 1 and 2. Aliens, the sequel to Alien, Ridley Scott's original. Titanic and Avatar. Those are the big heavy hitters. And he is a... well known to be a perfectionist, an obsessive perfectionist who has grueling demands on not only himself, but those he works with. People have gone on record saying things like his anger was crazy, but his demand for perfection was never ending, but people would have horrible experiences and yet the utmost respect for him still in a weird way that I feel like is almost impossible to pull off in today's landscape.
Yeah.
That he managed to do this. And I kind of get it. I do kind of understand somebody who is, while you may be like, Jesus Christ, he's fucking out of his mind or he's angry or these conditions are insane, but you almost respect because he's not somebody who sits back from an armchair and tells him how to do it. The infamous one, the shoot of The Abyss, one of his other movies that didn't do as well financially. He was down in the tank for hours on end. He doesn't do anything for anybody to make anybody do anything that he doesn't do himself, that he's not part of in the trenches. So I think there's some respect that comes with that. And he's pulled it off. That's the greater thing.
And that's the thing I respect about him. I like him as a film director. Mm-hmm. I put him in the same category as George Lucas. That's why I get so frustrated when people bash James Cameron and George Lucas, because they're not really taking into account what they've done for movies. Mm-hmm. They never do something. And this is the argument for Star Wars as well. When George Lucas complained about The Force Awakens and the new trilogy, they always did something different. And I'm not talking about different in stories. They do to a degree, but also different in the way a movie is being filmed. They never wrote thinking they're writing it within the confines of what can be done.
Right.
They write whatever the fuck they want. And then their producer, line producer, fellow executive producers will say, well, I don't know how we're going to do that, Mr. Cameron or Mr. Lucas. Oh, don't worry about that. I'm going to invent it. And they literally invented technology for pretty much every film they worked on in order to pull off a stunt. That's why they are giants.
Yes.
That's why they're juggernauts.
So for, you know, Lucas with Star Wars is the obvious one. LucasArts, Industrial Light and Magic, revolutionized technology. THX sound effect, revolutionized by him. Cameron did the Terminator 2 special effects still hold up
amazing.
To this fucking day.
Yeah.
They are outstanding. And Aliens is still a visually stunning masterpiece. Titanic is goes without saying, the effort that went into recreating that and the digital CGI that looks immaculate
still,
to this day.
Still looks good.
Avatar, like you were saying, really pushed 3D. And each time, the funny thing is that you're right. They don't let modern society or world or technology control what they want to make. The famous story, two famous stories of Cameron is that he didn't make Titanic because he wanted to make this love story about Jack and Rose. He's obsessed with oceanography and he wanted to visit the wreck. And knowing that the toll that the ocean takes on the material and the shipwreck underneath, he knew he wouldn't have the time or the physical capability to visit that far into the future. So he came up with a movie just to go visit the wreck.
It's almost like an academic's approach to research.
Kinda. It's
because that's what they do in academic circles. They'll research something, not for like, say, writing a book. They'll just do research because they're writing an essay on something or they want to write a book on something specific. Let's say dealing with, you know, the metaphysical aspects of science fiction cinema. I'm just keeping it within the same circles here. Mm-hmm. And through this research, they then realize, hey, I have a pretty good idea here for a story. That happens a lot. It's kind of what James Cameron does. He's obsessed with water, with the aquatics or oceanography, and through his obsession comes up with these stories, which I think is a fascinating approach to developing a story.
It is very unique. Well, because he went to school and almost went down a science route and then
that makes sense.
Shifted to art and film at like the 11th hour.
I'm sure his dad was pissed.
But I think, now probably not, right?
But then, like, what back the then,
you
fuck?
Stupid, you know. But it's funny because it is a very unique approach, and he has made a career with these groundbreaking, visually stunning, and often well-written movies. And he's beyond his perfectionism. He's also been known as a man of just supreme confidence. The famous Aliens pitch story, which he actually has confirmed was true, was that there was the movie Alien, Ridley Scott's horror masterpiece, and when he pitched that he wanted to do a sequel of it, he just added the letter S to the word aliens, and they're like, and that's what we're going to call it. And you know why we're going to call it that is because it's going to make, and he put two money straight lines through the S to make a money symbol, and they gave him the green light from that.
What a bunch of dickhead executives, because you know he probably didn't feel that way. But in order to get a movie made, he spoke the douche language. He's all, how about this, guys? Dollar signs. That's awesome. Well, I never heard that story before.
So he says, yeah, it's true. It just popped into my mind at the moment. I was actually on the back of a script. It was on the back of a script or some kind of presentation document. I was sitting with three producers, and we were in the office of then head of 20th Century Fox. And I said, guys, I've got an idea for the title. And it goes like this. And I wrote Alien in large black letters, and I put an S on the end. I showed it to them, and I said, I want to call it Aliens because we're not dealing with one. We're dealing with an army. That's the big distinction. And it's very simple and very graphic. But here's what it's going to translate into. And then I drew two lines through it to make a dollar sign. And that was my pitch. And apparently it worked because they went with the title and they never questioned it. That's a baller move, dude.
That is pretty cool.
And the thing is, he's done this before. When he was making Titanic, it was, at the time, the most expensive movie ever made. It came out in 1997, and so it was being made before that, so 95, 96, perhaps even earlier. It cost $200 million. Again, most expensive movie at that time
unheard
ever
of at that
made.
Time. Yeah.
Unheard of. That meant that it was a bit over $1 million per minute of screen time. And the Fox executives were panicked about that, and they suggested an hour's worth of cuts from the 3-hour length. The argument being that they could do fewer showings if it was 3 hours,
right.
Therefore less revenue. Long epics were not really in season anymore. And he refused, saying, you want to cut, quote, you want to cut my movie? You're going to have to fire me. You want to fire me? Then you're going to have to kill me. And the executives didn't want to start over at that point because that would have meant a loss of all the investment money. And he bet his profits and his livelihood that this would be a success. And going into it, people had very little faith that it would be profitable. It went on to make $2.2 billion. A critical success and a legacy film to this day.
And still brings in lots of money.
Still brings in money. Still a fan favorite. Still quintessential Hollywood movie.
See, that's the thing, just as a quick comparison and contrast to the movies of today. That's the difference between blockbuster cinema then mm-hmm. and now. Even though they may be simplistic films, let's call them, you know, summer tentpole films, they culturally, they became cultural icons. They resonated across time.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars, Jurassic Park, E.T., Terminator.
Jaws.
Modern films, they're put out, even the Marvel films, put out, forgotten. There really isn't
except
that
the
cultural,
Avengers movies,
the
perhaps?
Avengers movies probably will stand the test of time. But outside of that, the bulk, 85-90% of the Marvel films being put out won't be cultural icons.
Right.
Because they just don't have that
Ant-Man is not going to be the thing.
No.
You know.
Yeah. Also, Titanic is innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens was innovative. It wasn't just a cash grab. It was also some innovation in both narrative form and visual effects form across the board. Cinematically, the Marvel films are not really innovating anything.
No.
They're just relying on what was done. In fact, some of the biggest movements in technology didn't even happen until the Disney Plus shows with Mandalorian, where you started having the virtual production suites.
Mm-hmm. But even then, was that a benefit?
Which, by the way, James Cameron was already doing a version of that in 2008 or 2006, 2007 when he was making Avatar. He walked around with a view screen that yeah. I remember everybody yeah. was asking, what is this? Like making fun of him. And he says, oh, you want to see what I see? And he actually saw whatever direction he pointed this iPad-like tablet would project a version of what the final visual effects output would look like, rendered. No one heard of that.
Yeah.
It was like magic. Like fire? What's fire? Did you steal this from the gods, James Cameron? How are you doing this? The stuff he did was mind-blowing. And today's films, they don't really create that type of innovation. That's another thing that causes these pictures to be cultural icons.
Well, that's the thing is he was in this right now for frame of reference. Avatar 2 has cost so much money that he has gone on record saying it would have to make $2 billion to break even, which seems egregious. I do have to say, because
a lot of expectations there.
Yeah, let's see.
Especially in a market that's just not what it was.
Well, so that's the question. So the budget is allegedly $350 to $400 million, but I think it's got to at least be $500 if he's telling the truth for it. Or maybe he threw in his own money, because even if you double that number for advertising, that's only coming to a $1 billion, and he's needing it to make two. Now, for reference, Top Gun Maverick, the biggest movie of this year so far, raked in $1.5 billion.
And that was considered
a smash hit.
Yep.
And it is still only 75% of the goal he's looking for. And Avengers Endgame in 2019 brought home almost $3 billion. And that had 10 years of potential building up towards
it. And also it had a substantial amount of
hype.
Reissues.
Yeah.
Every 6 months, they dropped it again so yeah. they could beat, they I believe, were, was it they Titanic were they were trying
Avatar,
to beat? Or Avatar.
Yeah, they were fudging their numbers to try and beat Avatar's record. Now, Avatar, the original movie, at the time, cost $237 million and made almost $3 billion, $2.923. Endgame made, where is it here? 2.798. So it still didn't do that. With its multiple re-releases and longer running time, it did not beat Avatar in 2009.
Yeah. I remember people were mocking Marvel.
And that's 2009's numbers, adjusting for inflation and all that stuff. So the thing is, Titanic has done this. He's been in this exact position before, where it's the highest cost movie of all time. He needs to make all the money in the world and more to make it successful. No one thinks it's going to happen. He did that with Titanic and Avatar. He's done it twice. So if you had to put anybody in this position and say he's got the best chance, I would say it is him. Because over the years, Spielberg and Scorsese have not proven to have that reliable bankability.
So, yes, he is going up against some pretty steep odds. But the thing that is in his favor is that there is starting to be a desire and a turn in audience appetite. There is a Marvel backlash from the fans that a lot of people are now saying isn't just backlash on Phase 4, but also is a backlash on just overall Marvel fatigue. Mm-hmm. Superhero fatigue is finally setting in for a lot of people. Now, James Cameron has that going for him.
Which is true.
Avatar is counter-programming. Also, with the success of Top Gun Maverick, one of the reasons that a lot of people point to its success isn't just because it is a finely written summer film, but also it's true counter-programming. It's something that you could watch and enjoy with not a lot of brain power, but can still understand the beats and go and watch a classic summer blockbuster film. How many people said that in the trades? A classic spectacle piece. Tarantino said it. He said, I love that movie because it's a true old-fashioned spectacle, something you would watch in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Yeah, and it's timeless.
So James Cameron could benefit from that new reconditioning, you know, the changing of appetite. So that could be also something that can help him, in fact, beat the odds here.
Well, and because I have a bit of a pros and cons, and I think you're absolutely right.
If this came out 4 years ago, I don't think it would be in the position it is in.
And that might be part of it. He might have been done earlier and smart enough to wait. I would not put that past him because there was a 12-year gap between Titanic and Avatar, and that was not a hindrance to him at all in that aspect. His track record has spoken for itself repeatedly. And I think you're right. I think that now is a time in which we're ready for counter programming. Now, some people have said and brought up the economy. We are going into, or we're full blown in a recession. Regardless of whatever people tell you, we're fucking in a recession, which means people are less likely to spend.
That's far right lies,
Thomas. Oh, okay. It's, something in which people are far less likely to spend money, but movies are one of the few industries that are traditionally resilient during economic downturn.
Even the Great Depression.
People saw Gone with the Wind is still the most profitable movie adjusted for inflation of all time.
Yeah. Hey, we don't have money to eat, but can we go to see Scarlett O'Hara, please?
And that's because people want escapism. More now than ever. And I think with movies sucking, modern movies sucking, Marvel movies and TV shows being what they are, people are looking for something to just give them the feel goods and turn off their brain for an hour or two or even three. Plus, there's the talk of streaming. How is that going to affect things? But truthfully, streaming didn't affect Top Gun Maverick. It didn't hinder it. And in fact, it did hurt Disney's own platforms with Thor and, you know, Piss and Blunder. And
they're not making any money.
Doctor Strange and the Mismanaged Sadness, both of which
is what I
bottomed out of their own ass within weeks. If it's good, though, people will go see it. I think movies are one of those timeless things. So that is working in his favor. Now, What is not working? Some of the same points. It is a recession. Streaming is a thing. He needs $2 billion, allegedly, to break even. And I think one of the main things that you brought up earlier is probably the biggest thing. There is, in the past, Titanic was this unexpected epic with a strong story, great characters, great acting, amazing practical and special effects, sets built for the entire thing, people working in dunk tanks for days on, weeks on end. And it was a visual masterpiece. Avatar was, to this day, I'd say, still one of the most beautiful films we've seen ever in history because of the revolutionary 3D technology he pushed. Now, I do blame Avatar for some of the post, let's just fix it in post crap 3D movie slew that came after the effect, trying to catch that goodwill. But his movie was breathtaking, so much so that back in the day, people would complain and have the Avatar depression syndrome, where people were legitimately so enthralled with the beauty of the world Pandora in that movie that coming back to the real world and looking at our non-idyllic planet and our shitty situation, people got depressed because you saw this beautiful place and now you live in like Detroit.
Yeah.
Sorry, people, but you know how it is.
Well, Tempe is no better.
I mean, Arizona is no fucking picnic. I have homeless
people living right down the street.
I know. It's not much.
Just go down the corner and it's dystopia.
It's just dirt and sand, you know, soon to be all of the world, I guess. But people were depressed about that.
When can we purge people? I mean, that's what I'm waiting for.
Another 5 years?
When will we get to the point of our dystopian existence where we can start purging certain folks?
I think when the water wars kick off.
Okay. When the smokers come in on speedboats.
Yeah. So back both of his previous work and even Terminator and Aliens, like you said, were visually groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Is that the case now?
Yeah.
Can technology really go much farther than where it is? Because he does. I don't know if he's got that going for it.
It's going to have to become more tangible, but that's not what he's doing. Meaning there are theaters now that will blow stuff on you. And it sounds so stupid, but they like a wind will hit your feet. And
I hate that stuff. That interactive, like I'm at Universal Studios crap.
Yeah. I mean, they tried it in various venues across the United States. And even though those theaters maintain those attributes in some of their theater screens.
Yeah.
It for the most part, it hasn't gone over well. Otherwise, other theaters would be implementing it. And for the most part, theaters do not have that. So unless you go with the more tangible elements, I don't feel like there's much more you can do outside of what he did with. I'm talking about things, not to say there isn't technology that was invented for this picture. There absolutely was. I'm not sure of them yet. I'm sure after this film drops, we'll start seeing a lot of behind the scenes. But my point is that stereoscopic visuals, 3D, was once again a novelty in 2009.
Right.
It was an event status. It's the reason why Tarantino did a 7mm projection of Hateful Eight. He said, I wanted to create an event status. And it worked for the most part, creating that event. Avatar 2 is not necessarily being marketed as an event because there's nothing really to promote as being that event status because 3D now, in the form that James Cameron pushed forward, which has pretty much taken the rest of the industry by storm for quite some time, it's old now. It's old technology.
Well, so it is old technology, but he apparently has still tried something different. So apparently, according to announced by Weta Digital,
okay,
the film will heavily feature underwater scenes, yes, actually filmed underwater with the cast in performance capture.
Yeah.
Blending underwater filming and performance capture being a feature never accomplished before, it took the team a year and a half to develop a new motion capture system. And he says, this is from Cameron himself on blending underwater filming and motion capture system. It's never been done before, and it's very tricky because our motion capture system, like most motion capture systems, is what they call optical-based, meaning that it uses markers that are photographed with hundreds of cameras. The problem with water is not the underwater part, but the interference between the air, or the interface between the air and the water, which forms a moving mirror. The moving mirror reflects all the dots and markers, and it creates thousands of false targets. So we've had to figure out how to get around that problem, which we did. It's taken us about a year and a half, but now we're working it out and how it's going to do it. And that's the thing. So there is some technology pushed by him once again.
But is that texture, is it going to come across in the final picture? Like, are we going to see the difference between his underwater filming? Because I'm glad you brought that up, because I heard about this 8 years ago and I was using it as a joke for a lot of movie discussions. I believe it was 8 or 9 years ago. He said that Avatar 2 was going to be filmed 90% underwater. And I started laughing. I said, only him and George Lucas would come up with these ludicrous ideas and then make it a reality. So obviously he stuck to that plan. So are we going to see the difference between, say, Aquaman? An Aquaman film where it's all
right, CGI, obviously fake,
right? And are we going to see the realities of what it really looks like to be underwater for real via motion capture, which you're still using CGI characters. So are we going to see that texture? Is that going to really matter?
Well, so here's the other thing. So this is another article talking about, will it be in 3D? Because I wasn't quite certain.
It's got to be.
Yes, Avatar 2 will be shown in 3D just like its predecessor, but there's a twist. Cameron's production company, Lightstorm Entertainment, in partnership with Christie Digital, has been working on new 3D technology that will remove the need for wearing glasses to see the effects.
I've heard about this for a while now.
Now, I will say, if he's
actually doing that?
Apparently. This article is a few months ago, but it's still this year.
We're going to all see the movie and our brains are going to start popping as we watch it, because we're not ready for that.
If he can
make... He's going to kill off humanity.
I will say, if he can make glasses-less underwater 3D feel like you're in the ocean experience in the theater, that might be it,
that
dude.
That could be the event.
It
status.
Might be that selling point.
Yeah.
Because I've seen little marketing. That's the thing. I found there's been so much fucking marketing for Rings of Power on Amazon. It's insane. They literally have Galadriel as the avatar drawn picture for Adobe Photoshop 2023. First of all, fuck you. But second of all, I've seen next to nothing for Avatar 2. Well,
Disney, for some reason, lately with their studio films, they're not promoting them accurately. And no one knows why.
I don't know, dude.
Why they just decided. It's like they fell in love with like their own big dick. Like, it's like, fuck it.
People, the only smell of their farts.
People are going to see this movie regardless.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that I think has going for it. One, if anyone's going to push new technology and could pull that off, it's him. And potentially, it might be a marketing ploy. Save money on marketing by making it so that when people see this, the word of mouth, once again, is you have to go experience this in theaters. Because Avatar never had the capture at a home screen. It's nowhere near the fucking same.
In fact, I only rewatched it maybe twice.
I bought it, and I don't think I ever rewatched it.
Yeah, it just didn't have the rewatchability without that 3D texture.
So does this have the ability to be what brings people in? The other thing that I think is interesting that no one's been talking about is he's completed filming for at least the third one, if not the fourth one as well, because they're set to release now every 2 years moving forward, 2024, 2026, and 2028. There's actual dates. If he, as the writer he is, has taken the time to write some sort of 5-part epic on the lengths of which would be essentially a mini series or a one season standalone of a show, maybe that is the new thing for him too with this. I don't know.
It could be.
It could be.
And I know he changed his tune a couple months ago, because he had mentioned, you know, 5 sequels, something like that.
Yeah.
And then he said recently that those other sequels are obviously now based on the success of Avatar 2.
Right.
And that he is prepared to not release anything else after Avatar 2. So it also feels like he is facing the realities of the current situation when it comes to cinema and the industry.
So do you think, before I get to that, the other thing that I think that he kind of does have going against him, but could be a good point. We brought up the fact of like traditional movies, traditional epic actors. But one thing that a lot of the first movie got flack for was the story being essentially Pocahontas and or Ferngully, the white savior stereotype, and people having a problem with that. Plus, I hate to kind of say this, but he is a white heterosexual male, and that hasn't been Hollywood's favorite people as of late. Are those things working against him, or do you think those won't matter Or is it just too, we don't know enough
to really say? Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly. On that same note, keeping with the context, he's in a weird position, even when it comes to content. Because, yes, you bring up the white savior aspect that was, I still remember, was a center of a lot of
criticism at the time.
Criticism and debate. Even though he isn't a far-left radical, he is a left-leaning director. I mean, Avatar also has a lot to do with ecological issues. So we also know that there was a huge backlash on films like Terminator Dark Fate with its ideology and woke agenda that was so bad, not even regular lefties liked it. So he's got combating that as well. So I said that, well, okay, he might benefit from the fact that Top Gun Maverick paved the way for a very real desire for regular spectacles. But also the things that I've been reading in the fan circles, a lot of people are a lot annoyed with James Cameron about his whole Marvel
stance. Yeah.
They're also annoyed with what he did in Dark Fate with the marginalization of John Connor, the very backbone of the entire franchise,
right,
and replaced him with a Mexican Messiah character, Messiah figure, replaced the male Terminator with a better female Terminator. And all that sounds so petty, but it's definitely there. We discussed and reviewed it.
Yeah.
It is so obvious. That's the worst part about it. So obvious. And even though he didn't direct that film, he is credited with writing it.
Well, he's credited with story by, which I still feel like producers came in and fucked things up on that. But that, go listen to that review.
I'm inclined to agree with you, even though he's getting the bulk of the blame because of those iterations. But I am inclined to agree with you just based on his other past work. Aliens... he did the second one, right?
Aliens, yeah.
I mean, Aliens is both Alien films. All three, at least the three big ones, they're feminist pictures.
Yes. Especially his.
Yeah, without a doubt. They're feminist pictures. So he has no problem.
Is Terminator 1 and 2.
Yeah, but his feminist ideology isn't insulting.
Correct.
So that being said, I feel like he can put together a film that can appeal to tons of different people, a wide variety of people, but are people going to give it a chance? So if the movie is good, it's everything it should be, it will probably do decent at the box office. And if it's really good, you're going to see a Top Gun Maverick type of tick up based on word of mouth. And that's what's going to save this picture. Word of mouth.
Absolutely. I think no doubt that's what he needs. Because I think people will go see it regardless of any of that, because it's been almost 15 years because of the legacy of Avatar. Curiosity and more of a, can he do this? Like nobody necessarily thinks, you know, that the person's going to jump 15 buses in a motorcycle, but people go watch to see him either crash or succeed. So I think in the beginning there will be strong numbers, but I think for this to be a success, yes, 100% word of mouth is going to be what he needs. I really hope he does it. I really hope. I know there's going to piss off a lot of people.
Usually you're anti this type of stuff. So tell me why.
Anti which type of stuff?
You're kind of anti like giant movies and studio pictures earning tons of money.
So here's what the thing, because I was against Endgame re-releasing crap, because I'm like, you only get your first run. You don't get to cheat the system to make your numbers look better.
So is your movie hate only based on what Marvel's doing right now?
My movie hate is a lot of that.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a feeling that you attach to all forms of blockbuster films currently.
No. Like Top Gun Maverick was a blockbuster. I thought that was phenomenal. Okay.
So it's just you're a Disney, basically.
I don't like Disney for the most part.
Yeah. And you've been right lately.
And mostly not because I don't like Disney, because my childhood was grown up in the prime time of Disney. Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Mulan, Tarzan,
and the
Jungle Book.
And the rise of their live action cinema, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean and so much of my childhood movies, the best movies to my and my favorites to this day. Dude, I still cry at certain points in Lion King because the music alone is fucking unbelievable.
I cry when Scar dies.
When Scar dies?
Yeah.
Not Mufasa.
Nah.
Okay.
Mufasa.
It still gets me. So I don't have a problem with Disney. What I have a problem is with what Disney's been doing, which is selling out the soul for the quick buck.
Yep.
They've wrecked the soul of Star Wars for the quick buck. They have remade their quintessential classics for a quick buck. They have ruined so many great things out of a greed sense. And they think that they can't be touched. And what I would love to hear, it's not a David and Goliath story, but I would love that Avatar 2 be the bat to the kneecap of the superhero juggernaut.
Even though it's still owned by Disney?
Even though it's still, I don't even care about that.
Yeah.
I truthfully don't even care about that.
You just want certain films to be brought down a peg.
I think anybody who's been a fan of anything that's gotten popular can tell you there's a certain point in which things become too mainstream and they lose what made them special.
You become emo, like you just like their old stuff.
You become the hipster and you sound like the old man yelling at a cloud. Hipster, but tell me that Comic-Con today is just as good as it was before everyone and their mother went.
Right.
And they charged you $500 to enter. And there was all the movie. It just became movie announcements and not about comic books and the stuff you liked. Tell me that Star Wars now is as good as it was when Filoni was making Clone Wars and people and Lucas was still involved and the games were still quality before EA bought them. It's just one of those things. I like to see those who think they're untouchable trip and fall, whether that's Walmart, Amazon, or Disney's movie giant with the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think only when you get egg on your face do you really sit there and say, okay, I got to do something different. And that speaks for people, too. So I like seeing something new come out and shatter records. Because I liked the Marvel movies for a long time until probably Endgame. And then after that, I just, they haven't captured my attention.
I have a love-hate relationship with all superhero films.
Yeah, and I think that they're taking everyone's money and time for granted, thinking we'll just watch whatever. And so I'd like to see something challenge that. I guess that's what it is. I like to see things challenge the status quo. And I like variety.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear that this could do it. I am skeptical. But then again, he's been in this position twice.
There's a lot of people out there wanting different types of movies.
I think that's mostly it.
There wasn't that voice 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Correct.
And with the disillusionment of streaming for a lot of studios, over the last 3-4 years, streaming services have become plagued by debt because they thought that they were all going to make this, which is whoever thought of this idea, they weren't thinking about the bottom line. They're thinking about how can we get a streaming service? And that's it. They weren't thinking ahead.
How are we going to make money?
Because it doesn't make sense for you to think that you're going to put $90 million into a TV show and you're going to earn that money back when there's 5 people living in a single home.
Yep.
All on one subscription. That costs $7. That's also probably being shared with 2 or 3 people outside of the home.
Absolutely.
But then you look at the possibilities of the type of revenue you bring in based on actual historical data for the cinema, which is, you know, $13, $14, $15 per ticket per person. Of course you're not going to make that kind of money. And yet it didn't slow them down when it came to throwing money at projects that would never ever earn their money back.
Right.
Disney, their stock was in a free fall over the last 2 weeks because a report came out that they lost money and had a bomb all in the same week. They haven't had a bomb in 31 years. There is an animation that came out 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
First Disney bomb. No, I'm talking about financial bomb at the box office. First financial bomb in 31 years, I believe is what they said. Then their stock also is plummeting because they, for the first time, reported a loss and a perpetual loss throughout 2023. That is why the CEO for Disney has been fired and Bob Iger has been brought back, because the failure of the streaming service, it actually isn't a success for them. HBO Max, it has not been a success for them. Why do you see the complete overhaul? Amazon firing people, slashing produced TV shows, planned movies, because streaming services have now proven that they cannot make a true profit on the type of content they want to do. So because of that, I feel like the studios are going to have to now find a way to get people back in the theaters, and they're going to start wanting to make films. So I have a feeling that Disney and other studios all want Avatar to succeed, to show and give them hope that they can save their bottom lines, because streaming service isn't the end all like they were hoping it would be.
And what I'm hoping for too is kind of a new renaissance when it comes to the movie and TV world we see. There are a few standout successes that are previously never heard of voices who have received a lot of acclaim and are doing well. But there's a lot more crap, garbage. They'll like it. This is formulaic for a pandering to a audience. We talked about this on the Winchesters, and we're going to talk about it on Rings of Power when I eventually convince Mike to suffer for an hour or two for that show. But I think there's a lot of people who are tired of seeing things they love get ruined from their childhood. I love Star Wars, but I'm more upset at Disney for doing the live action remakes of the animated films. The animated films are timeless. They will never look bad. And having to do that again just pisses me off. But I'm looking forward to, they have to do things that they know will make money, and they have to do things that people want to see. And there's a lot of people who just want a fucking good story, and they don't want to feel pandered to, and they don't want to feel talked down to. And I think that you can have any kind of person or group represented if you do a well-told story and give a damn, rather than just say, this is a strong female character, this has got diversity, that's good enough. It's not good enough. You need to give them characters that are memorable and stories that we care about, and not just ride the coattails of an IP that you bought. And I think, and I hope that, which I know sounds like all this indie rise, and then so therefore Avatar 2 needs to make money. But I think if that shows that the juggernaut of the comic book movie hero template is weaker than anticipated, that there's a crack in the armor, it'll allow for other things to fill that space eventually. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that is.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on this film. For fans that want more cinema, for James Cameron, for Fox Studios, for Disney.
Things to be made that aren't just TV shows.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We'll know in a couple of weeks. Now, we are going to come back for a part two discussion, right?
Yeah.
And that will be the review of Avatar 2?
Yeah, we'll review the movie. We'll kind of use this as in the old play it or slay it days. We'll decide if this was a success and did it work? Because I think there's no way we cannot review that movie with everything coming up and with how long it's been. So that might be one of the last shows of the Rain Man calendar year. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. I hope it does well. But okay, last sentiment. What do you hope? I think we both agree we hope it does well. Do you think he'll pull it off? Either financially or critically or both.
It's hard to say.
It is.
Because there's so many things that are different about this film. There's no leading actors, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, there are voices. So you can't really market anyone's name. But also, does that even matter in today's world? Are there even box office draws anymore? No, not really.
Tom Cruise, and he just did one.
Yeah, right? So I hope it does good, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of the biggest flops in movie history. I hope I'm wrong. I think it'll make a good amount of money at the box office, but it's going to be considered one of the worst flops of all time just because of its budget.
I think that
times are different.
Times are different.
If things keep going the way it has been going over the last couple years, and let's say this movie comes out 3 years from now and things keep going in that direction, then I think it would be more likely for him to make money.
See, okay.
But currently we're still at the beginning stages. A lot of this fatigue of the caused by the films we're getting hasn't quite sunk in yet with everyone.
I think it hasn't sunk in consciously.
Right. I would agree with that.
I think subconsciously it's there. We talked for years before people realized The Walking Dead was bad, that The Walking Dead was bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's going to do well. I think he's going to pull it off. And here's my argument as to why. Avatar came out in 2009. As somebody who graduated in 2009 and has had their entire life impacted by the economic free fall that was the housing crisis, that was a much worse financial time than I feel like we're currently in. Times are tough right now financially, but it's not quite to that level. And it made buco bucks. And I think people are hungry for something different. And I think when nobody expects it is when that is the best time to strike. And I think Amazon, Disney, a lot of these places think that their shit doesn't stink or that they can keep that money train rolling. And I think this is going to shake things up. I'm being positive, which is rare for me.
Yeah, you are in rare form.
But I'm going to put my money on 17 Black. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I there's something in it that makes me feel like it'll work out. So we'll see. We'll see in a couple weeks. It's only a few weeks away. And we'll review that and talk about it then. So I think that's it.
All right.
I think we're good. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen to this. Let us know what you think. In either a review or if you're on a member of our Discord server, let us know. Do you think Avatar 2 will be a financial success, a critical success, both, neither? Let us know.
A piece of garbage.
Are you going to go see it even? Do you know who the fuck James Cameron is, or did you learn something today?
Did you ever see Avatar, the first one?
Did you? Yeah. Who knows?
Did you laugh when everyone died in the Titanic like I did?
Oh, the guy hit the propeller and just boom.
That's the best thing ever.
That's terrible.
Best moment of comedy in any film.
Oh, God. All right. That's going to do it here for us. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.